Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I'm Ash Riot.
We are Hologram, and we are coming to you from Deming, Washington.
Deming, Washington.
That is their theme song.
Deming, Washington.
Oh, where? Yeah, I guess you better approach the travel board and start and try to get them to plug your new song, Ash.
I just wanted to tell everybody how awesome I look right now.
Well, I'm too bad we're not on video.
I'm wearing Crocs and two sweaters and a bandana.
Yeah, she's got a scarf around her head like she's a hippie or something.
I am.
We are kind of hippie-like, aren't we?
Yeah.
A little bit. And we don't mean our bodies, folks.
I don't even get that.
Well, if you're hippie,
oh,
think
I get
about it.
It.
You've got big hips. At least we're amusing ourselves.
I get it.
We are excited to bring you our live radio program tonight from Deming, Washington, June the 3rd. We are in the wilderness. We are camping, and we are grateful for the technology of today where we can actually do our radio show from the campsite. And we're surrounded by beautiful cedars, and we've got a campfire in front of us about 4 feet away. And we might have some intermittent noises. Maybe other people, revelry might come from other campsites.
Or so, raccoons or cats.
Well, we actually have raccoons visit us, and Ash likes to feed them eggs.
I do. They take it. They love it. They love eggs. And the cats, they're so cute. They're like little cats that just live in the woods.
What do they call cats that are wild?
Feral.
Feral. Feral. Well, that's what they are.
They're feral.
They're feral. You
okay.
Say feral, I say feral. You say tomato, I say tomato.
That's what it is.
That's my Ethel Merman. Tomato. You like that?
Yeah.
See, this has everything to do with our topic tonight, what we're talking about, doesn't it?
Well, I've been dreaming about this all day.
Have you been dreaming? Are you dreaming about it all day? I'm dreaming about it all day,
I've
too.
I've been dreaming and dreaming.
And dreaming.
And dreaming.
And I even had a dream last night.
What was your dream last night?
You know what? I can't remember.
I haven't dreamt yet.
You haven't dreamt yet? Because why?
I don't know. I forgot.
See?
I forgot to dream.
So our topic tonight is what dreams may come. And for those of you who are Robin Williams fans, you know that he did a film called What Dreams May Come in 1998. And I still put that up there as one of my all-time favorite films. I don't think it even got great reviews. I don't know if you've seen it, Ash. I never even asked you before the show. It's a film when his he's a doctor, and his family is tragically impacted when his children are killed in a car crash. And his wife is so just overwhelmed with grief that she eventually commits suicide.
Well, I've never seen that.
And he goes into the other realms to save her, to find her.
Really?
Yeah, because according to this particular writer, whoever wrote that, I don't even know who wrote it, but they believe, you know, they put the idea across that because she had committed suicide and took her own life, she ended up in what would be kind of seen as maybe a hell holding hell kind of purgatory place. And it's actually quite amazing. I love the concept. I love the visual effects in the movie. And the reason why I titled this particular segment of the Hologram Radio Show What Dreams May Come was actually a little bit to do with that movie. We talked about our topic, meaning that we're going to talk about dreams and the impact that they have in our lives. And I also wanted to talk about not only the dreams we have when we're sleeping, but also about our waking dreams.
Yeah,
because I think it's really important to bring our waking life into this as well. And how does it all impact us? You know, we spend one third of our entire lives sleeping.
Wow.
Think about it.
So that's really important what you get from that.
So say I live 66 years. I've spent 22 of those in dream land.
Wow.
Right? So you think about what is the purpose of sleep? I mean, we know obviously that it's meant to replenish our bodies, right? And, you know, that's when all the cellular work gets done. And so it's about the physicality, the necessity based on the physical form. But it's also, I believe, about the tapping into the consciousness of,
I agree,
not only ourselves, our highest selves, but also of each other.
Yeah, it's really important.
Right? So we are opening up the phone lines, and we welcome you to give us a call. You can look on your internet screen and see the numbers right at the top above where it's talking about our shows. And in the meantime, we're going to sort of relate to you a little bit about what dreaming means to us, a little bit about the impact of dreams, and we might even wander a little bit because we're totally in our camping vibe.
We're in the camping vibe today. We did camping.
We
things.
Camped
today. We camped and had campfires. And anyway, what we want to say to you is, in our beautiful
camping is great.
Camping is great. And also, you know, we're kind of just chill, and we're not the type of people. Well, I'll speak for her, and I'm just going to speak for her. that we really don't. We're kind of out of the box. So, whatever you wanted to say about dreams, or whatever you feel about dreams and want to share, even if it's off the wall and really creepy or fun or whatever, just share it with us because we like that kind of thing.
Now, the thing about dreaming. A lot of those of you who are perhaps in the metaphysical frame of mind are probably hearing a lot about the importance of your dreams and making sure that you remember them. Now, you obviously, if you started with the show with me and with Ash at the beginning, and you're here now in the near to beginning, I don't know if that made sense. But anyways, the fact is, I said I don't remember my dream. I didn't remember my dream from last night. And one of the things that is suggested and something that I have done, I didn't do today, obviously, is to have a dream journal.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it by your bed, because a dream journal in your drawer isn't going to serve you when you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you just had this amazing dream about you, maybe you're the queen of
England.
And
you have four sports cars.
You have sport, and then Johnny Depp is driving one of them, and he's your dream man. And we have friends who he is their dream man, and you just don't want to forget that kind of dream because you want to definitely remember that
all
one.
Day so long.
make sure that you have your dream journal handy, meaning on the bedside table. And
your dream camera.
And your dream camera, yeah. Yeah. Do you know how they can take pictures of your auric yeah. field now? The aura. How about if you had dream cameras?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But that's what our memories are supposed to be. They're supposed to be our dream camera, and then we can take it and put it on paper, mm-hmm. and then it becomes a story, right?
Amen, sister.
So I used to, it's funny because about a week and a half ago, I was going through some of my papers, and I stumbled upon... I journal, and I have journaled for many, many years, and my journaling isn't always necessarily very succinct. I've said this before, as an artist, even when I'm writing, I'm overtaken by creativity in a moment, and I grab whatever's nearby. So it could be a napkin, it could be one of those real estate guys, they send out those pads of paper. Could be one of those.
Shout out to Jeff Norris.
That's right. Thank you, Jeff. And so sometimes they're not very organized because they end up getting kind of tossed aside and they don't mm-hmm. have any kind of sequential.
I'm same with you.
Are, yeah?
Always.
Yeah, they don't really. But I grabbed something and this, again, it was just in a pile of papers and I had written down about my dreams and it was really detailed. And I was quite proud of myself, actually,
cool.
because I go, wow, I actually was half asleep and was able to get this amount of information out. And then I probably would have proceeded to immediately go back to sleep because mm-hmm. that's kind of what I used to do when I was dream journaling. But it was really interesting to read it. How many years? It probably was about a good 8 years after the dream. And to kind of go back and take a look at my life and see how, if in fact it did, you're so distracting with that.
Why?
With that funky bandana, man. I look over at you and I just get totally distracted. You got the weirdest hairstyle right now.
I'm capping.
Oh my God, I have to take a picture of you and tweet it or something.
No.
Anyways, and just to kind of see if it did in fact fit. And some of the stuff in it made sense to me. Now, most of you are familiar, if you are with dreams, you're familiar with not only your own personal dream journals, but also the actual dream dictionaries that are available. And I mean, Freud talked about dreams, but he kind of took it on a whole different kind of sexual level, a lot of it. And so many people have come up with dream dictionaries and their idea of what, for example, what driving a car means in a dream. I read in dream dictionaries that driving a car means that it's about your control in your life. And if you spin out of control, then there's a sense of you feeling that you're personally not in control of something.
Yeah.
Or if someone else is driving the car.
The spider in the bed. Remember my dream about spiders in the bed?
I don't remember it.
Okay, go on.
If someone else is driving the car, then that means that you feel that you're not personally in control, that there might be an issue at hand where you feel that someone has taken over control or that someone is oppressing you somehow. So what I would say, you know, as a person who's lived on this planet for a while and had a lot of experience in life, I would say, based on my own experience, that I would temper that with your own feelings. Don't take any dream dictionary, sorry, literally. It's good as kind of a skeleton, but recognize that some things, like, again, pay attention. I tell this to my son. I say, if you are interested in knowing what path or what decision would be best for you, the best thing, and I swear by this, the best thing for any of us to do is to go into the body, because the body can never lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we want to have a career change. So if you make the statement, I am now a nurse. After you make the statement, or while making the statement, pay attention to what happens to your body. And then you might say, I am now a doctor, or I am now a
music teacher,
librarian, or a music teacher, mm-hmm. right? So pay attention to how your body reacts, because there's where your truth is. So the same is true of with your dreams. If, for example, even this car analogy that, or this example I shared with you, if it doesn't ring true with you, then you don't have to listen to me. I'm just relaying information, and it could, in fact, be something you integrate and it makes sense. It resonates and it feels right for you. And for some of you, it may not. So I would say that you be cautious, like with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Be very discerning. This is about you understanding yourself. This is about you understanding your symbols. Like even Ash and I, as I don't even like using the words, but
mediums.
Psychics.
I know you so well.
I know. Even with that, like we everyone who has that ability, and I still say we all have it, but some of us haven't exercised it as much. Everyone who has the ability, they have their own symbols around it. So it's the same thing with dreaming. You'll have certain symbols that are unique to you. They belong to you. They have meaning to you. It's also important that we once in a while reach out and ask for help when we're struggling with an interpretation, or we're struggling with something that we don't quite understand. But again, just pay attention to how your body feels when you are even around somebody and mm-hmm. asking them questions and exploring. That's the idea. I think that it's important that we all explore, but I also think it's important that we always go back to self
mm-hmm.
and honor yourself. And this is why I think we have to be free from feeling that anybody has more control over us than ourselves. It's always back to self. It's about self-empowerment. So anything we ever do, it has to come back to self-empowerment.
Well, isn't it even like a lot like basic human nature? There's always, as soon as like you could feel completely, you know, not, I'm trying to say is, like, you know, when you're, it's not really until you feel like you want your freedom so bad until it's kind of taken away.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way in dreams and stuff. Like, I've heard of people who have these really intense dreams that they don't think are about themselves. Like, they're like, oh, I had this dream that, you know, I was this, say I was this man, it was a woman saying, I was this man and I lived in Thailand and I got eaten by a crocodile and this happened and this happened. They're listing a whole bunch of events and they're thinking that it can't be about them because it didn't look like them.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? But it always will come back to yourself. I mean, I've had dreams where I'm not myself at all, but everything in the dream, I can relate to my life in some way. And it's as soon as you can go, okay, Like, you know how you can learn something from a movie, you can learn something from a book. You didn't directly write that screenplay, or you didn't directly write that book, but you can still relate it to your own life, right?
Yeah, because that's where the we consciousness mm-hmm. resides, right? That sense of connection.
But there is we consciousness in dreams, too.
Definitely, definitely. What about prophecy? Mm-hmm. You know, there are dreamers that are prophetic dreamers. I've dreamt a prophetic dream, at least one, mm-hmm. in my lifetime. So I think that some dreams aren't about us at all. They're about events. We can have even dreams about world events, right? Mm-hmm. So we even are aware of people who have trouble sleeping because I hope this yeah. isn't you out there, but because of nightmares. Let's talk about nightmares a bit because, you know, I'm going to knock a tree. Right now.
Here, knock the fence behind
me. Knock the fence behind me because it's a, you know, this is my superstitious part coming out. I don't have nightmares.
Neither do I, very rarely.
And the only nightmare I can remember is when I was a child, I dreamt of, I think I might have been around 5 or 6. It was a recurring nightmare. So I had it quite a few times. And it was where I was being chased by a giant crow. And I ran into a glass building because it was the only building that was there. So even in the building, the crow could still see me, and it was pecking and pecking at the building, trying to get at me. And this crow was at least half the size of the building. So it was quite scary for me as a little child, you know, to have this dream. Now, you know, as I'm telling it, it so makes sense as an adult.
Really?
Yes.
How so?
Because crow.
Yeah, that's
see,
true.
Now I really connect with crow.
Yeah.
Crow is really crow comes when I'm made to remember that which I am and that which I know. And so here I am, probably a little girl, running away from perhaps even any kind of gift or ability that I may have, not wanting to face it. Right?
Wow.
Think about it.
Wow.
Huh? Isn't that something?
But you know what? I have one thing to say. Speaking of when you
Welcome
were saying
to Dream
about
Dream Chat with Dr. Cher and Dr. Ash.
What? I'm a doctor. I've always wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to mention what you were saying about like the medium stuff.
Yes.
Like it's also really really important to not dismiss reality as a dream. Like when I was 3, I'll tell that story again. When I woke up out of a dead sleep, and I was seeing a woman in the corner of the room, and Mom, if you're listening, call and tell everybody. Anyway, that I'm not crazy. Anyway.
Or at least she placates you because she's your mother.
Yes, exactly. Whatever works. So anyway, I was sitting, I sat up in my bed and I saw a woman in the corner of my room to the right corner of the room. And she was an old woman. She was just sitting there. And I thought, who the crap broke in here? Those weren't my exact words, but I was like, oh my God.
That's your that's how you, as a 27-year-old, translate it. I don't think a 3-year-old's thinking, who the crap is in the corner of my room?
Who is in the corner of my room? And I was like, holy crap. Right? There's a woman in the corner of my room. How'd she break in? And then my mom came in and she said, there's nobody there. And I said, yes, she's there. She's right there. And I was so afraid. And then, I was thinking, like, even in my 3-year-old mind, like, am I dreaming? You know? And then my mom turned on the lights, and she was still there. So that's when I learned I could see people.
Who have passed over.
Who have passed over.
Yeah. They're not
just
dead.
Just as real as
they're
you.
Alive. Yeah, they're just, we, yeah.
Just, there. It's, exactly.
Listen to the lyrics of our songs.
Just listen to all our lyrics. You'll know us really
then
well.
Then you'll go, aha, I kind of get those two.
Yeah.
All right.
but that's what happened. And so I could have easily dismissed that as a dream, or I could have dismissed any of what's happened to me as just like a dream.
Well, which
dream
most
state.
Of us do when we have those kind of experiences, because I'll relate it to the story I heard. And forgive me, people who are so dead on with history, because I'm not dead on with history, but I do remember things. And I remember being told this story, and it had to do with, I believe it was the Spanish. And the Spanish had brought their galleons to, I don't even remember what part of the world, but it was where there were native Indians who had never, ever, not only seen a ship like a galleon, but also seen a white person. And
I'm white.
Well, you're kind of beige.
I know.
But anyway, they could not see the galleons. There was a certain person, I can't remember, and I wish, if any of you know this story, please call in and let us know. So forgive me for my not telling it exactly, but the idea was this, is that none of them could see the galleons that were in the harbor. They couldn't see these tall ships. They could not see them because it had never been their experience, although they were really there. But their minds weren't seeing them because there's nothing that they'd ever, ever, ever in their mind's eye had ever taken, like had ever seen, nor had they even ever thought of anything could exist. Mm-hmm. So there are these beautiful ships, you know, right in front of them, and they can't see them. They're going, what? What? I don't see anything. I just see water.
I remember
I just
this.
See,
now that you said that, I remember.
Yeah,
this.
I just see the harbor, right? And that is how I relate when you're dealing with going into not only the dream world, because I do feel that the dream world is like another dimension as well, but also we're talking about people who are the not dead, and we don't mean zombies. I think Stuart Wilde, I read recently Stuart Wilde, who wrote that little book, Miracles, I love it. He's a British metaphysician. He's one of the originators, actually, of metaphysics.
Huh.
Anyways, I was wondering what's going on with Stuart Wilde. And a while ago, I was researching him, and he was talking about the dimensions being as far from your elbow to the end of your hand.
Oh yeah,
away. Now think about that. If we are actually kind of layered, where does the dream world, the dream dimension fit in? Because I don't, you know, where do you go when you dream? Are you stuck in your head? Is it like you have a film projector inside your skull,
mm-hmm.
and it's just projecting back to the back of your skull, and that's where you reside? Or do you actually go somewhere?
Well, I think that there's always, like, put it this way, it has to be a little of both. Like, I think we reside in places that I don't even think we know we reside in.
Yeah.
And I think that even if whatever's a dream or whatever's reality, it's all going to shape us in future events. We're always going to remember everything in little ways. Like, I remember I'll smell something, I'll smell a certain food, or I'll hear a certain song from when I was 11, and I'll be right back to somewhere. Or I'll see something just randomly on the street, and it'll bring me back to a dream that I forgot I even had.
Yeah, they act as triggers.
Yeah.
So then we can, I mean, this is so multi-layered. You know, we're talking mm-hmm. about dreams, and, you know, forgive us, folks, if we're not talking about symbology here and we're not getting right into dissecting our own personal dreams, but just in a really broad sense, how it just kind of relates to all of the layers, mm-hmm. all of the dimensions of what it means to be alive, what it means to exist,
mm-hmm.
the different experiences of us being alive and existing. And
yeah.
it's so layered.
So layered.
Yet we are so consumed with just being in what we think this is our reality, mm-hmm. and what we see with our eyes is what we
yeah,
know.
I know.
And then even that Indian story, their eyes weren't even serving them then because it was about their mind. They couldn't conceive of it. So their eyes weren't even seeing it.
Yeah, I know.
You're funny.
I know. So anyway, but what, to me, like, what's so important is to realize the life of everything, though. Like, I mean, sure, trees don't sleep, but we still kiss them.
How do we know they don't sleep?
But that's just what I'm saying. Like everything is alive.
Have you
ever talked to a
tree? Yes. I have too, and it's sounds really weird, but I've never asked them if they sleep.
Well, why don't we? We have like millions and millions and millions of trees around us right now.
Millions?
Yeah.
Where
Go
are
out.
We? I'm not this. Obviously, we're now in different
I'm
dimensions.
I'm counting the grass as trees. Okay? They are mini trees. Do not make them feel inferior.
All right. Mini tree grass. Let's talk about talking to trees.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a big thing for us. We talk,
yeah.
We say, we're hologram, kiss a tree. You know, it's not just us being kind of funny and campy, although part of it is, it's one of those things where we're kidding, but we're not. The connection that each of us can have just by grounding and, you know, it's more than embracing, you know, placing your lips on the bark of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds really kinky. It's not.
Yeah, it is.
No,
no I'm
it's
kidding.
Not.
You could even kiss the soil.
Well, I have done that too.
Me too.
I've kissed the ground. It's just about expressing not only gratitude, but also a sense of connection. We think that we can connect to living things like people and animals. Mm-hmm. Well, these are equally living.
I know.
Trees, rocks even, water.
But isn't that to me, that is more superior than us. And I know that sounds weird, but even like I think of, like, in my heart, I've definitely always been a vegan, right? Like,
yes.
Always,
yes.
always. And that's not because I don't like the taste of meat. Like, meat tastes great. But for me, I feel a huge sense of guilt eating it. Because I feel like the animal kingdom is so superior to us. Like, I've been in places like, you know, a buffet in America when I was going with my parents. And there's this guy there with a shirt that says, like, PETA stands for People Eating Tasty Animals. And I was like, you stupid shit. Right? I didn't like him. But I also respect that because that's his, you know.
That's right. It's
but
where,
exactly.
It's where
that's
resides.
What he is.
Yeah.
But it just was rude to see that on his shirt. Like,
well, yeah. It's,
right?
Yeah.
It's like seeing, like, a guy with one of those shirts that has breasts on it. Like, you know? That's what it was like. So anyway.
Oh, man. Those are, that's another
yeah.
T-shirt. Okay.
But, I mean, I just, because what I'm trying to say is that I always thought that the animal kingdom was superior over us because they don't have any, animosity towards us except for survival. They don't want to package us and put us in plastic. They don't want to exploit us and kill our family. And you know what I mean? It's, to me, it's what they're doing is for survival, but for us, feeling like we're in the 21st century and we don't need to put them through so much torture, but we're still doing it for tradition's sake?
Well, I guess it's just tradition, or is it just habit?
Both.
Right?
It's definitely both.
And again, everybody has their own viewpoints
on exactly.
that. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not about, I think the important thing is that we live and let live. I really believe that.
That's what I agree.
I think it's also, though, important that when we feel strongly about something, that it's not only good for us, but also good for the collective that
exactly.
we share that.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying about, I kind of got off track, but the animal kingdom and nature, like trees and grass, to me, all of that is more superior because yet we treat it as so inferior. Sure, people take pictures and praise a photograph or people have pets or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But it's always, okay, we're either the top of the food chain or we're clear cutting trees because we can. You know what I mean? But to me, we're the lesser because we either...
Well, we live in fear.
Exactly.
So everything we do, for the most part, I won't say everything because I'm not going to mm-hmm. say the whole world is living in fear. I'd say the majority of the world is living in fear.
Yeah.
And myself included, I've lived in fear.
Yeah.
And I've made decisions in fear and they're not the ones that make my life feel better.
Exactly.
They're the ones that make me feel less connected, mm-hmm. that make me go within, that make me isolate.
Yeah.
Then it's never about connection. It's just about disconnection, right?
Yeah.
So getting back to the trees, I was saying about talking to the trees. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's tell people how do they talk to you? Because they don't just talk to us. They can talk to everybody. They do.
Well, you can get answers, and that's what I was saying about the superiority of, like, nature, is that you can walk up to a tree, and you can kiss it. You could even wrap your arms around it.
Well, I do both, actually.
You do both.
I put my arms around it and give it a big old kiss.
Well, me too, and yeah, people would be like, you stupid tree huggers, right?
Yeah,
or whatever.
Well, that's the
but,
hippie.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We can, the superiority, what you can learn from an animal... Even just watching a raccoon eat its food and the trust that it's giving you, or the tree and how the silence and tie to the earth can rejuvenate and ground you, those are big things.
You think about the effect of nature, for example, camping, being amongst, like being immersed in nature, being immersed and surrounded by the trees, being, you know, more directly on the soil. I find that I dream far more... what's the word? It's more intense.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that too?
Here?
That, yeah.
Oh.
That when you're
either have such good sleeps or such deep, deep dreams.
Yeah. And I think that is, it's because of the environment. I think it's, and this is why I've always encouraged people when I find that people are stressed or if I'm ever asked, you know, what is it that I can do? I'm feeling... There's a lot of stress in our world. We were actually shopping for groceries just yesterday, and the clerk, who was a young man, and he was having a panic attack while we were paying. Mm-hmm. And it was, I felt that it was the energy of the store. It was the energy of the people. I could feel it. I didn't even want to be in there. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get in and get out. And this young man probably is so open to it that it just overcame him. And so in his mind, he's going, why am I feeling this way? Why am I having a panic attack? I just want to run, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of, you know, fight or flight kind of feeling. Yeah. And your palms start to sweat and you get that raising that comes up through your stomach and up mm-hmm. to your throat. And that's just sense of impending doom. I used to suffer from panic attacks and I was actually medicated for them in the early 90s. And I have not been medicated for anything since 1998. But yeah, I know full well that. And I do think that it's about picking up energy, picking up what surrounds us. We take it personally. We think we're flawed.
Yeah.
But it really is just about how connected we truly are. And we pick up things. And maybe we're watching a lot of violent television, or we're watching, we're playing violent video games, or whatever we're immersing ourselves in, or we're hanging out with people that are highly agitated, or, you know, how it can all affect us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything, like, here's the thing. I think, was it you who was telling me this, or somebody was telling me this?
What?
They said that so if they fall asleep with the TV on, they have some weird dreams, or if they listen to music.
No, that's me. I mean, probably other people too, because yeah. I'm not alone. I know that. But if I fall asleep, I used to, as a kid, I used to want to fall asleep to music because I didn't like thinking of sounds that were surrounding me. I didn't want to be spooked by things. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted the music to kind of take over and lull me to sleep. Mm-hmm. Music to me doesn't affect me.
I can't fall asleep to it very easily.
It's the TV.
Really?
So yeah, if I can hear the television in the background while I'm sleeping, actually, it becomes part of my dreams.
Yeah, it does. It does to me too. Oh, there's two things I wanted to say quickly. But yeah, for the falling asleep with music or TV, because I have grown so hyper alert, she's just putting another log on the fire. I've been like I've grown so accustomed to having to be really hyper aware because of, you know, just being so, I guess, intuitive. Just having to be aware when I fall asleep, like any little noise just gets to me. So even if it's like just something moves in, you know, wherever down the hall, I'll hear it and it'll wake me up. So I can't fall asleep to music because I'll wake up every 2 minutes. But also, I want to ask anybody if they've ever had the experience, because this happened to a friend of mine, it's happened to a few people I know. If you eat mandarin oranges before bed, you have really weird dreams.
Mandarins?
Yeah. It's like this kid I knew named Michael in school. He'd said, oh my God, my dad won't let me eat oranges anymore before bed. And then so a few people tried it, and then I've heard later, like, they had the same experience, but then as I got older and was an adult, people would tell me the same thing. If you eat an orange before bed, I don't know if it's something, the acidity is like acid or something, but you get really weird dreams.
Have you had that experience?
No.
So then have you tried it?
I haven't tried it.
Why
I
not?
Don't,
my curiosity would get the best of me and I'd be right on those mandarins. I'd buy a box.
I have a stomach and I can't eat acid before bed.
Oh man. Well, have an afternoon nap.
I don't nap in the afternoons. You know, I can't nap.
Oh, well just have a mandarin and try to force yourself to sleep.
Have a mandarin and then antacid.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Yes. I don't know. I
call in people if you'd like to.
If you want to, this is becoming a
it's
chat.
Fun.
About all sorts of things.
Welcome to Coffee Chat with Hologram.
Coffee Chat. We actually are drinking coffee as we chat.
I know.
And we have a smoky fire in front of us. I put some wet logs on it, so
I'm trying to
dry
fix
them
my
out.
iPhone screen thing.
Well,
it's being weird.
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, it is. Look it. It's warped. Something happened. I think it got melted.
Oh, well.
Anyway, everyone, this is Random Coffee Chat with Hologram.
I think the importance, really why I'm bringing up the dimensions is because the dream, if we talk about dreams as being one particular dimension, one particular awareness, and we bring it to the reality. Well, what is known as our reality now because we're in the physical world, right? Mm-hmm. And then what about our reality when we pass? Because death, as we all know, is inevitable. Right, the discontinuation of our physical form,
just the physical form.
That's right. So the consciousness in our experience, and many could argue with us, but we'll just say from experience, the consciousness continues, and it continues in a place that's mm-hmm. much the same as this world, well, without the fear.
What I was told by someone very special to Cheryl is that it's really, really about having a really strong sense of self. And if you have a strong sense of self, when you leave your body, even, it's about you still carry yourself with you. I mean, like, I've known so many people who are into religion, who are into, like, you know, talking about the afterlife, and they don't even know yet. But it's just having a strong sense of what you believe. Like, I was talking about this the other day too. All the different religions. How do we've touched base on shows? If you've ever listened to our shows, like, which religion is right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. the Sikhs think this. The, you know,
Muslims, the Christians, the Jewish,
exactly. And I think that just being able to have a strong sense of self definitely affects dreams. It affects your afterlife. I think it affects everything, because if you're really, really strong in yourself.
But what does that mean? I mean, you're being very ambiguous, because having a strong sense of self to me means, first of all, you have to have a really great grounded mm-hmm. sense of self-love.
Yes.
There has to be a lot of love happening before we can actually even properly,
yeah,
effectively, let's say effectively, I won't say properly, before we can effectively love another.
Well, confidence and not really being afraid, like knowing, for me, knowing that you're going to be okay. So many people, like you said, live in fear.
Yes.
But having your strong sense of self, to me, really is the knowing that you're going to be okay. And even if it's
no matter what.
Exactly.
No matter what, you're going to
be fine. No matter what. That's important.
And if we run our lives based in fear, we make a lot of really bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Because, and that means that we don't feel that there is a greater, something greater looking after us. Mm-hmm. Whatever, I call it divine life path, divine life plan, being connected to the divine, mm-hmm. and not only the divine that's outside of ourselves, but the divine that's within ourselves. Mm-hmm. I live my life, no matter what happens. I had somebody tell me this, somebody in my family, they said, wow, they said it to my brother. Cheryl sure lives like she just doesn't look back. She just goes forward.
That's so true about you.
It is true. Because you know what? I think that if I continue to look back is to second guess. It's also to bring regret. Mm-hmm. And regret doesn't serve. Worry doesn't serve. Second guessing ourselves doesn't serve. I have made mistakes, but have I? I don't believe I have. I think mistakes. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in sin. I don't believe in the idea of sin. For those of you who are Christians or of a religious persuasion and disagree with me, that's fine. I used to believe in sin, and I've come to believe that there is no such thing, but I do believe in making mistakes. But I also think mistakes are part of the divine life path.
I don't think, really, like you were saying to me, the whole sin thing has been coming up.
Really?
Well, yeah, like even with what we were, like all the readings we were doing last night.
Oh, yeah.
And like, to me, there really is no sin. You were not born a sinner. You were not born a sinner. That is the biggest load of poop.
Yeah, but that's, again, it keeps us in fear, because if we truly believe we were born a sinner, we need something outside ourselves to save ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's where the fear and control comes in. Mm-hmm. So getting back to your dream life, if you are to start paying attention to dreams, I hear that, I know I dream in color. I'm not a man, so I don't know how men dream, but I hear that men dream in black and white, and women tend to dream in color. I think that's an interesting fact.
That's true.
Yeah. And I think that it's important. I have actually dreamt in black and white. It's
have
probably
you?
My 1950s station.
Wow. I get it now. That's funny.
You like
I don't
that?
Get things very easy. I got that.
It must be your guru bandana helping you out over there.
It is.
But I think that the dream, to be connected to our dreams, doesn't necessarily mean that we have to understand them in the moment. I think, even I'll speak from my own experience, I like answers and I like them now.
She
I want to know
true. Now.
And I want to know everything now. But what I'm learning and I'm living it is letting go and finding, stumbling on that dream like that 8 year ago dream that I had written very succinctly about. Stumbling on that and reading it 8 years later, it was really cool because I knew that the divine timing in that, because it made sense now.
That's
it
so
didn't
cool.
make sense then.
But it did now.
Yeah. And I wish I had the paper with me. I would read it to you. I'm not shy about divulging or disclosing my dreams. I am a private person, but there's a big element of myself that I like to be very open with, where most people maybe don't feel comfortable. But I think it's important that I am open with certain aspects of my life so that other people can feel free to know that, first of all, they're not alone. They don't have to live in secret, and to give them freedom to go outside of anything that causes you any kind of sense of implosion or a sense of seclusion or a sense of disconnection or a sense of shame. I think it's important that we step out of that, because we can't fully realize ourselves until we do. So connecting to your dreams doesn't always mean, this comes from my own personal experience, that you have to know in the moment exactly what it means. There may be only a certain element of the dream that you're meant to know now. And there may be something or some aspect. This is where we get to practice
That's
trust.
True.
There's some aspect of the dream that perhaps will serve you in a year from now.
And we, I've had that happen.
Yeah. So do you know a specific example of that?
Well, yeah. Like, I'm going to be vague because it doesn't really matter. But just having a dream about somebody destroying a forest. I had a dream, and this is really true to me. Like, I had a dream about somebody lighting a forest with a match and smiling about it. And I was really, it really freaked me out, going, okay, well, that's really weird because I don't think that about this person right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, why did I have that dream? Like, it's okay, I don't understand that, but it kind of freaked me out. It kind of made me second guess them. And then I guess a year later, realizing that that dream was prophetic.
It was a prophecy.
But I wasn't
dream.
Meant to know then.
Yeah, you weren't meant to know then, but it turned out that, yeah, that's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's a good example of not having to know in the moment, but
it wouldn't have served.
It wouldn't have served, but it serves later. And it also is a great way to know. It's like a high five with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you get this high five kind of, thank you for watching my back.
Yeah.
Thank you for
like
giving
you feel
me the information.
Because,
yeah. And we all are supported. I was reading something about the Lords of Karma today. And for those of you who don't know, I would encourage you to read about the Lords of Karma. But I was reading about the Lords of Karma and how the main important thing with anybody who serves as our helpers, like angels, other, just all of them. You fill in the blanks. You know who your helpers are. I think the main thing is recognizing that the love that they have for us is immeasurable, and it's not with condition. And we live in a conditional world, and we live in a conditional world because it serves us.
I know.
This is a world of illusion.
So I honor all
so
what,
I
everyone?
Honor all delusion.
If you know the word, call us and get a free MP3.
That's from our song, The Fusion. So that, you know, it serves us because it does. We're here for that experience, for that opening up of our souls. But at the same point, there's a time where we have to kind of let go of it and recognize the other world, the other dimensions, the other servers that connect and keep us supported. So dreams, I think, you know, that being said, I think really dreams are gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams can be gifts from our higher consciousness, which is ourselves, as well as the connected nature that we have to our helpers, because this is another way that they can get through to us. I want to talk about out-of-body experiences.
That's important. And right before you open that, because that will be a really good one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give the call in a number.
Yeah, sure.
So call in if you feel like it. I know it's a Sunday night and everyone's probably busy, but you're busy listening to our show.
That's right.
So the call in number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Again. So call in if you want to say anything to us about dreams, or just keep listening to us because we are funny.
We're funny and we're fun.
Yep.
And we like to think so, and we like to tell you we are.
And I'm going to get ice cream.
Not right now, though.
No.
You're doing a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about out-of-body experiences, because there are some belief systems Again, I always bring this up because I don't want to tell everybody what to believe. But some belief systems that believe that we actually separate ourselves from our bodies when we dream. But there is a silver cord that connects us to our bodies so that we don't actually float off into the other side, which would be where we would be deceased. And I think that that's quite true.
Yeah.
I had an experience where I actually left my body. I'm sure, and I know a lot of people that have had outer body experiences, and I think that I've had them without even going, oh yeah, that's what's happening. It's just sort of things that happen. Kind of like my regular life. I don't know how to describe it other than that. But there was one particular instance that I remember because I was petrified. I was absolutely petrified. I had fallen asleep in my son's room, and it was in the middle of the day. It wasn't at nighttime. It was in the middle of the day. And I remember he was at his dad's, and I was missing him. So I went into his room, and I fell asleep on his bunk bed. And my body didn't wake up, but I left my body. And at first I saw myself, I was at the top of the room looking down at my body going, huh, this is kind of weird. What's going on? And then I got kind of panicky. I remember feeling panicky. I'm like, oh my God. I remember actually even asking myself, am I dead? Am I dead? Did I die? Am I dead? And I went back down. I don't know if you've had any of these experiences
before. I have, but I was just thinking, it's been so long, and I'm just sitting here wondering while you're talking why I haven't had it in like
so long.
Yeah.
But probably because you're having it like me, but you're not, it's not a fearful thing anymore. So anyway, this is what I'm getting at. I was so scared because my first reaction was, this isn't normal. Am I dead? How do I get back in my body? And I remember going back down, and I'm actually, it was my soul, my spirit, my consciousness, me, Cheryl, trying to literally knock at my body. And I didn't know how to get back in. I was kind of going, is there a code?
That would be kind of freaky.
Can I wake myself up? Can I wake myself up and bring myself back in? I was so scared. And I just remember literally knocking at myself, like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And then I finally integrated. It was really weird.
Wow.
So, and that's a true story. I'm not making it up. But that, to me, is an example where I was sleeping, I was in the dream state, but whatever, my consciousness actually snapped out of the dream world and came back to the real world, but my body hadn't reconnected.
Wow.
So I think that has something to do with my theory, that there is an actual dream kind of world. There's an actual dimension that we go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too.
And I think it's vast.
I think it's endless, and that's why, like, all these interpretations and things do exist because, you know, like I'm going to use that when I said about the spider. I dreamt I was having spiders in my bed. It was just a couple weeks ago.
And then, Ash really hates spiders. She's freaked out.
Yeah, I'm really scared.
She's
I'm not
allergic.
Scared of any other bugs, just spiders.
Yeah.
And because when I get bit, I like get really sick. Like I seriously, it's not good. And then so I had a dream about it and I was like, that was really, really creepy. And so I went and looked in this dream book that our friend Rhea gave to me and I, or to us. And I looked it up and then I looked up spiders and I was like, well, that doesn't really help me too much. And then below it, spiders in your bed. Like there was actually something about spiders in
wow.
the bed. I don't remember what it said, but some of it rang true or I could apply it to something else. But yeah, that's why there's so many different interpretations is because it's kind of like, I'll use this. This is what I think about dreams. To me, dreams are almost like song lyrics. It's like originally, like you hear a lyric and you go, okay, well, this is what it means to me. And then you go in and read what the artist thought, like what the song's really about. And you're going, oh, well, that kind of takes the meaning out of it for me. It's the same as looking in a dream dictionary. You could have this amazing dream and it could hit you in a really big way. And then you go and read what it means. Like the spider means you have a problem with your sister or your brother or something, right? And it doesn't ring true. It takes it away. It takes the meaning away. So it's always pay attention to how you feel first. Like Cheryl was saying, listen to your body, listen to what feels right. You'll always be able to, you know, feel something. And even if you can't define what you're feeling, it'll point you in a direction.
I have a lot of people tell me that they don't know how to do that. They don't know what they're feeling. And they don't know how to connect, and they don't know what it is that they need to do to connect. Mm-hmm. And there's that sense of, it's almost like a drowning man. Like, I just don't even know who I am. I don't know how to connect mm-hmm. to myself. I, you know, what do? I go in nature, but then I sit there with my troubled mind, with my rapid mind that I can't turn off. I would still say, then just give it more time. Mm-hmm. For those of you who want to quiet your mind even enough that you can understand your dreams, then I think it's important that you pay attention to giving yourself some slack, cut mm-hmm. yourself some slack.
Don't overthink it.
Don't worry about being right or wrong about anything. This is again where the ultimate trust and faith in our life path and in ourselves resides.
Don't be your own skeptic.
That's right. It's the doubt that actually destroys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most, you know, anybody who would say to you, well, how do you know how you know, you don't have proof. Where's your proof? How do you know that there's, you know, that people, when they pass over, they continue? How do you know? You don't have proof. I don't know. There's nothing on the internet about it. There's no study. We don't have people, you know, we have studies where people have passed away and they've come back after, you know, a few minutes of death, and they say that they see a white light and they do this. That's what I know. But how do you know what happens to people?
Or maybe they were
what
having
about
a
hell
dream.
And heaven?
Yeah.
And, yeah, maybe it was a dream, whatever. The thing is, there's some things you do know, and you have to trust yourself in the knowledge of it. And even if other people don't agree, again, it comes to trusting the self. And staying and standing firm in your own self, in your own, what your convictions are, where your heart lies. Mm-hmm. When you are in nature and connecting to source, to the infinite, knowing full well that you are part of something. And mm-hmm. even if someone were to tell you you're crazy, or someone were to say, you know, you don't make sense, it's all the greats, you know, you think about in history, it's all the great people who did some really great things. Majority of the people around them told them they were crazy, or
it's
majority
true.
Of the people told them that they knew nothing, or tried to shame them. You know, Schopenhauer talks about truth being met with ridicule and then anger and then finally being self-evident. And I think that's really true when we're sharing anything, the dream world, our real world here.
And both of them are so vast, the dream world and the world. So it's really like for me to hear people say, well, that's wrong, that's wrong. It's like, well, if you think I'm wrong, how come you can't own up to, you know, what you don't yet know? The world, you know what? There are millions and millions of pipes in the sewer system of dreams. Trust me.
Well, I don't know if I can top that, Ash. I just want to leave you all with an Albert Einstein quote that he said, the more he knows, the less he knows anything.
Wow, that's perfect.
And I think it's true of all of this. And I we would just encourage you to be open-minded. Be open-minded to your own dreams. And the only reason, in all honesty, the only reason we're sitting here in the forest, surrounded by trees, with a beautiful fire, feeling very connected because of where we are, and the reason why we do this show is to connect with you, is to share our experience and our hope, and have a platform for you to talk to us. Nobody's called in tonight. That's fine, too. For those of you who are listening, we just want you to know the connection that we all share. There is no one who is better. There is no one who is worse. And we are all in this together. And so share your dreams with yourself. Share your dreams with your confidants. And dream big. And daydream big, too.
Have a beautiful night, everybody. This is Ash and Cheryl coming to you from Deming, Washington. HG rocks. Listen to Hologram and enjoy your night.
Good night, everybody.
Kiss
Thank
a tree.
You. Kiss a tree.